What's up? This is Dave from Movies On Up. We'll see Ryan after the theme song. This week, we have a little bit of news, some on Captain America, some on World of Warcraft, and we talk about Guillermo del Toro for a little bit. We also go through some highlights of the South by Southwest screening schedule, and we go over our extremely complicated Oscar pick'ems with 3 weeks to spare. Theme song, pick me a winner!
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 38. Their powers would make them different, but destiny would make them allies. Destiny would make us podcasters. I'm Ryan, along with my destiny-allied podcaster, Dave.
You're Destiny's Child. We're reuniting for this week.
I was kind of determining whether I needed to make that reference to the Super Bowl last night. If we were Destiny's Child...
I would be Beyonce.
I was going to say, like, if neither of us are Beyonce, which of us gets to be...
I'm Kelly.
Okay.
If you're taking Beyonce off the table, I'm Kelly.
That was the one that was in Freddy versus Jason, right?
Yes.
Okay, well then I guess I will be Michelle, the one that's not
with one L.
Kelly.
Yes.
Yeah, sure, whatever. One L, maybe one E, who knows. So that's it for our show for the week. If we were Destiny's Child, Dave would be Kelly, I would be Michelle. Until next time, keep it up. If you'd want to hang around for some bonus content, I guess we'll go ahead and give that to you at this time. Our tagline for the week, their powers would make them different, but the destiny would make them allies, which got us launched onto our Destiny's Child tire. It's a shitty tagline. It really is. You know what? I don't remember which movie that this is from.
I don't know off the top of my head.
It's from a franchise that we talked an awful lot about. So it's one of those four.
I know what this is.
It's one of those four. And I remember looking at all three of them, and they all have very bad taglines or taglines that absolutely give it away. So this is just go on to IMDb and you've got a 25% shot of just randomly guessing which X-Men movie that's from. If you do manage to find the answer, zip it off in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet at us, tweet your answer at moviesonup, or leave it on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/moviesonup. If you get it right, if we pick you, you would be eligible for a prize package from Movies On Up, and that would be our first prize package that we give away.
We got a couple emails today, or this week, saying just testing to see if there is a prize package. There is. I assure you there is.
Did anybody follow the instructions?
Yeah. Yeah, they all did.
Oh, okay.
They all did. Yeah.
Well, somebody's going to win. Do you want to announce a winner right now?
Not right now, because then I'd have to look and see who.
Oh, shit. Yeah, logistics.
One of them was Jason West, though. And before we go, this is our corrections.
Continuity Police, Jason West.
He mentioned we did our favorite football player movies last week.
Sure.
He threw out Necessary Roughness, which I like that movie.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it, but when they play the inmates at the prison, it's like Jerry Rice. It's a bunch of NFL players.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that
like
would
they
be...
all make a cameo, and it's a football. I guess I just didn't think football movies, really. Like I tried to. I got in the mindset of football players as actors, and I didn't even.
Well, you had the longest yard on there, didn't you?
Yeah,
which is kind of a football movie.
Loosely a football movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but so that was that Necessary Roughness, which that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Rob Schneider's best work and Kathy Ireland.
Definitely, some of her best work, not 100% her best work. I think that would be more in print, but God, that woman could kick the ball. I think the 49ers probably could have used her, or at least her character last night. Anything else from Westy?
No, that's it.
Okay, well, good. That's all we fucked up last week, so that's nice. Maybe Jason will win our first prize package. Maybe not. That might be favoritism. I'm not sure. But somebody, damn it, is going to get something. So congratulations, pre-congratulations to our winner, whomever that may be. Congratulations going to the wide releases this week. There were only two, Bullet to the Head and Warm Bodies. Stand Up Guys was the limited release.
Yeah, Warm Bodies actually claimed number one with $19.5 million. A lot better than I expected it to be. I thought it was in that 12 to 14 range. I didn't really know.
Is that what you put the over-under at?
I have no idea.
Good.
Neither
do I.
But I thought 15 was like top for it. 19.5, if you would count 10 p.m. Thursday shows, it brought in $20 million over the weekend. I thought Hansel and Gretel would actually hold on. It dropped 53% for second place with $9.2 million. So Warm Bodies outgained it by $10 million.
Yeah,
so
twice, doubled it up.
Silver Linings Playbook, grew in theater counts, added to 168 theaters again, brought in another $8.1 million, only dropped off 14% from last week. It's only dropping like 12 to 15% a week. It's sitting at 80 million now.
It's that word of mouth. It's the Oscars. It's people that haven't seen it yet. Their friends tell them they go the next weekend.
It's probably going to do 100 million. And I think that would make six of the seven best picture noms $100 million movies.
And can I guess the one that's not?
Maybe. Yeah.
Is it Amour?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. But and then Mama fell 48%, but Mama actually added 100 more screens this week. It brought in $6.7 million. Still, it's sitting at $58 million on a 15 budget. Zero Dark Thirty still in fifth with 5.3. It's at... Okay, no, it's only at $78 million right now, so... Yeah.
So that one probably won't make 100.
Depends. It could. I mean, it's getting there.
I guess, yeah. When are we talking by? By the Oscars or just by the time it's out of
theaters? By the time it ends its run.
Oh, what the hell?
It has a shot, but it could get a big boost next week. So my numbers are off there. And then Bullet to the Head. I said it'd probably do around that 5 million range that Last Stand did. It did 4.5 million.
I think we put the over-under at 6 million on this, and I think we both took the under.
Yeah, and I think that's actually less than The Last Stand made, if I remember right. I think that was about 5.
It's because this one didn't have Johnny Knoxville. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, so that was the other new release. Stand Up Guys opened on 659 screens to $1.5 million. That's a $2,200 per screen average, which it's on par with, it was like top 5 as far as per screen average. The Oscar-nominated short films opened in 105 theaters and brought in $390,000 for $3,700 per screen. So that's a cool little thing they started doing. And then Dave Grohl's movie Sound City opened on 16 screens for $4,300 per screen.
Not around here, though.
I thought Cleveland got it, or Columbus.
Did Cleveland? I was going to say, like, you'd think Youngstown would get it just because it's from Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was... You're seeing stuff start to pick up, like your limited releases, you know, fared well. So you're going to start, usually, like, as you get into March, it's like key ground for those limited releases, stuff that maybe is riding off some buzz from the festivals, Sundance or whatever's coming up. So
or the one in Germany, right? That's huge.
Yeah. So that's it. But Warm Bodies surprised me. So...
Pleasant surprise for both of us. You son of a bitch. I'm going to stab you.
Somebody is flipping our mic stand.
With a pen. Yeah, I don't like that. It really, it's one of my pet peeves. So if you're listening at home, feel free to flick your mic stand. It'll just piss me off while I'm reading. Our first news story, which is about a limited release, we'll say one of those small indie flicks that some of you may or may not even be aware is coming out, and that is Captain America 2. Emily Van Camp to help Captain America get revenge on the Red Skull. I'm not really sure if the Red Skull is going to make an appearance in the Winter Soldier. It's just a way for me to mention that Emily Van Camp is from Revenge, because I had no idea who the fuck she was. Had to look it up. So that's where she's at. She's a television actress. She has emerged as the leading candidate to play Sharon Carter. She appears to have beaten out the likes of movie stars like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Alison Brie, who is a TV chick, but she's been in movies too, and I like her, so I'll give her credit, Teresa Palmer, Emilia Clarke, and Felicity Jones. She just snagged a role in the Spider-Man film, so that's
Emilia
not a
Clarke
surprise.
Is also a TV girl.
Sure, whatever.
She's a white chick with dragons.
Okay.
She came out of nowhere, Emily Van Camp. Like, I remember there was... A bunch of names started popping out, like all the ones you listed. I don't remember hearing her name at all. I don't really like her as much as the rest of the list, but whatever. I mean, there's something there, I guess.
I have to admit, I've never sat through an episode of Revenge, so I've got no
idea.
I
have enough trouble making it through the trailer, through the weekly TV spots for Revenge.
Maybe it's just because the show sucks. I mean, maybe she's all right. I don't know.
And you have TV directors directing this movie. But you know what? Shailene Woodley, go back to Descendants. She was a TV actress on a terrible show, and she fucking delivered.
Yeah.
And fucking was awesome. So, I mean, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. I'd like to see one of these other names in there. I'm just disappointed because the first one had probably the best comic book female like co-lead of all the recent ones, and now you can't use her. Like, it's just a bummer. Like,
I mean, that was there's nothing you could do about that.
No, it's just, it was a bum because, like, that sucks. She was awesome.
You think she was better than old Black Teeth from Thor? Speaking of TV actress, that they put in a movie for some reason?
I like her.
Do you? All right.
Are you talking Kat Dennings?
Yeah.
I thought she was good in Thor.
Oh, black teeth. Argue with me. She doesn't have black teeth.
It's
black as her soul.
She got fingered by Michael Cera in that one movie.
Well, I mean,
that was like the climax of the movie.
This climax.
Literally.
That sounds like a great film.
It was.
I must have missed it.
Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist.
Yep, did miss it. And now that I know what the climax is Michael Cera finger blasting somebody. If that's all the movie, if that's it, if that's
all it leads up to, yeah.
Yeah, then I think I can pass.
Although the Andy Samberg cameo is fantastic.
Does he get finger blasted?
Off screen.
All right. Moving on?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's enough Captain America talk for the
day. And finger blasting, yeah. Wow, that's one way to get Dave interested. W-O-W, all in caps. Duncan Jones has been picked to handle the long overdue World of Warcraft movie. He'll be working off a new script written by Charles Levitt of Blood Diamond fame. The studio hopes to begin filming later this year for a possible 2015 release.
Every time this you think this is dead, like a couple years ago it was dead, Sam Raimi's name thrown out there. And we laughed that Sam Raimi, the studio moved on without him on the WoW movie. And I just feel like the movie's late already. Like, I don't know that the WoW crowd is there, but you put Duncan Jones behind it. I'm into it.
Do you think the WoW crowd will stop playing WoW long enough to go watch a movie about WoW that doesn't star their own WoW characters?
No, but I will. And I think that's the first step, because I don't care about
to
WoW.
Get the first step in any movie is to get there, Dave in the theater. Everyone else, everything
and
else
I mean,
will follow.
There's a couple approaches you could take to this, because you make a World of Warcraft movie, it's going to make a shit ton of money overseas. You can try to make it legit. You can, you know, bring in a big time director, and you could take like the Avatar approach, the bringing M. Night Shyamalan, and you know.
I thought you meant the James Cameron.
No, try to make a good movie and spend some money on it. You know, it didn't do so well over here, but it still made a shit ton of money. Or you could do the Dragon Ball Z approach where you just shit one out for cheap, except that you're not going to make money here and make a killing overseas. This, they're putting over $100 million into the budget. Like, they want this to be a thing, and you can't blame them. With all the spinoffs and all the characters and all, this is a franchise, like, waiting to happen. If he can,
but it's been waiting to happen for 7 years too long?
Yes, but you look at, I mean, you could look at, people are waiting for that next Lord of the Rings. I realize we have The Hobbit now, but this is a little different story. Like, you could be more, I think people.
The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings have been around for, good God, 50 years at this point. So
if this delivers as well as it should, and as well as I think Duncan Jones can, that's a huge franchise.
I think it could be. I mean, the game was huge. I don't know the numbers. So I'm probably talking out of my ass here. Actually, I'm definitely talking out of my ass. But, I mean, if the subscriptions are as high, you know, or relatively close to being as high as they were, you know, in its heyday, then yeah, maybe there still is the interest and it can be a franchise. I'm just worried that people have, I'm not worried. I don't give a shit. I'm not backing this turd. But if I was, I would be worried that people have kind of moved on from WoW. It just doesn't, it's here in the States. I mean, yeah, I don't know what the Koreans are doing. I don't really have my finger on the pulse of Asia, the band or the people.
Something like this is going to make a ton of money over there. No matter what kind of product it is, it's going to make a ton of money over there.
You're probably right. But I mean, at least they've got their next director that they may or may not move on without. But this isn't the first time. There's been somebody attached, and
no.
It didn't go through.
But so I mean, I like him handling a franchise like that, like a $100 million budget movie, because I think he can. If anybody can deliver, it's him. I don't know what this does to his Ian Fleming biopic, because I know there's a BBC TV is doing a miniseries, so I don't know if that killed it, because they have a Dominic Cooper starring as Ian Fleming miniseries coming out. So maybe they just kind of pumped the brakes on that, let that take precedent, but I'll watch anything Duncan Jones does.
They had better do the WoW thing first. I mean, again, speaking of something that's been around for, you know, 50 years, with the Bond stuff, I mean, you know, people are into Bond, obviously, with Skyfall made a butt ton of money, so people are still into that character. So I think that's something that could survive another 2-3 years on the shelf, and it wouldn't really be that big of a deal. Speaking of on the shelf, Pinocchio just got shelved. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, not yet a real boy. According to a tweet by co-writer Chris Grimley, the project seems to be on hold. Lots of recent Crimson Peak news seems to point to Del Toro's collaboration with Jim Henson Studios maybe on the back burner for a little while at least.
Not surprising, because I really think Pacific Rim is going to change Del Toro's career. Like, I really think it's going to give him that. I mean, Pan's Labyrinth changed it a little bit where it made him a name. This is, I think, going to make him a bankable, put him in that Peter Jackson territory after Lord of the Rings, where it's, you want something different, unique, you go get Guillermo del Toro. I think he's going to have his choice of films, and he's already got a list of passion projects that he wants to do.
Yeah, it seems like Crimson Peak is one of them. He's going to be, I don't want to say obligated to do a Pacific Rim 2, but that's then, probably going to happen.
And the Mouth of Madness or whatever the other one, Mountains of Madness or whatever it was. Like, he's got all of these passion projects that, you know, he doesn't just want to make them all. Like,
and then there's Hellboy still. Like, he still wants to make another Hellboy. Yeah.
So, like, he's going to be in a position to make what he wants to make. I don't think he's going to be begging for jobs. Like, he's going to be one of those where he's got three or four projects lined up and then another four that he wants to get to and just can't.
And maybe it you know, he doesn't end up making Pinocchio. Maybe he becomes a producer on it.
And that's where I think a lot of this is going to go. I think that's where Crimson Peak's ultimately going to be. I think if Mountains of Madness or whatever it's called it happens, it's going to be the same thing. I think there's going to be a lot of Guillermo del Toro produced projects that he wanted to direct, he just can't.
Well, like Mama, right?
Like Mama, yeah. Like The Orphanage, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
The Katie Holmes vehicle.
And especially with the success Mama just had.
Speaking of a guy who's successful and can essentially pick his next project, he has done that. He, of course, being Seth MacFarlane. Charlize Theron is now looking for ways to die in the West as she joins MacFarlane in his follow-up to Ted, the Blazing Saddles-esque Western comedy 1 Million Ways to Die in the West, where she will star as a gunfighter's wife, teaching a cowardly MacFarlane how to gunfight after his girlfriend up and ditches him.
Yeah, this came out. They released some plot details of it. I don't know if I just missed it or if I just didn't pay attention. I didn't realize MacFarlane was also starring in this. Like, he's playing the lead. He plays a guy who chickens out of a gunfight. His girlfriend leaves him. So he goes to Charlize Theron, who is the wife of a gunslinger. And
apparently he was unavailable.
Falls in love with her, and then the gunslinger shows back up. So it could be funny. Like, you throw Blazing Saddles out there, that's kind of... I mean, it's a hard comparison to make because Blazing Saddles is so classic, but when you think of Western comedies...
City Slickers.
Yeah.
The upcoming Adam Sandler film.
Oh, God. Yeah, so I mean, it's funny for Charlize Theron to do... I mean, she's typically somebody who just does what she wants to do and doesn't really make safe choices. Like, she really only does... I've always said she could be bigger than she is. She just picks her projects very... So she could do comedy. She was awesome on Arrested Development. So I think this will be interesting.
Of the Westerns that we were talking, Western comedies, I mean, I definitely think that this one's going to be a lot better than the Adam Sandler one. I like Charlize Theron. It's very rare that I see her in something. I'm like, God, she sucks. I don't know that I've ever done that. And you're right. She was hilarious on Arrested Development. So fuck it. Like, I'm cool with this.
I don't know about MacFarlane leading the show. Like, he was good in Ted.
Yeah.
Because he was doing what he's familiar with. We're not used to seeing
physical acting.
Yes,
from him.
We're not used to seeing him act. I think he can.
In his brief glimpses
on Flash Forward when he was in there, he was okay, but it's hard to look at him and you hear the voice and you think that's just Brian talking.
But with him writing and directing, he's not going to put himself in a position.
I understand that, but it'll be weird to see him carrying a movie physically is different than his voice carrying a movie coming out of a teddy bear.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's good that, you know, he's at least trying comedy because, I mean, he's a funny guy, so he can pull that off.
Having Charlize Theron in there helps. I think you need a big star to play the main villain. Like, I don't think MacFarlane's name alone is going to carry it.
I don't know. I mean, after, you know, Ted and after Family Guy, like, I do think that just there's enough people that like him that will go see it, even if it doesn't have, you know, a secondary, like the villain, if it's not a big name. I mean, I'd love it if it were, that'd be great, but I think it sounds funny enough.
I thought Ted was funny.
Yeah, I did too.
It was nothing ground. It was funny. I enjoyed it. There were some good parts that still make me laugh when I think about it. So, yeah, it's cheap humor, but it hits me.
Yeah, I don't need the most well-constructed jokes all the time. Like, I like dick and fart jokes, whatever.
I liked a lot about Ted. I truly did. I thought it was really funny. So, I'm all for him making another movie. I don't need a Ted 2, but...
Well, we're going to get that, too.
I know. I'll take this.
Yeah, we'll take this in the intermediary. Definitely. This is the part in the past couple shows where we've stopped to give you our stuffy film festival updates. There's another film festival that's on its way, South by Southwest, a little bit less stuffy, actually probably the least stuffiest of all film festivals. And I mean, film festival is kind of a loose classification for what South by Southwest
was
at this point.
For the longest time, a music festival.
Right.
And then it morphed into... You know, they started adding movies, then they added comedy. Like, now it's a huge live podcast and comedy festival. So, I mean...
Yeah, we're not going to be there. Yeah. That's fun.
It's morphed, and it's gotten the San Diego Comic-Con treatment, where it's gotten way bigger than it was. But, I mean, it's... Sundance is for the business of movies. South by Southwest is for the fandom of movies. Like, these movies pretty much already have their fate decided, or they're in good shape to have a good fate decided. So, I mean, this is just shit that people want to see, and they're targeting their audience. And the lineup is awesome, usually.
Yeah, and it's definitely awesome this year. We just picked out some highlights. We didn't put every single movie on, because there's a shit ton of them. If you want to know every movie that's playing at South by Southwest, if you're going, you know, that might help. Or if you're just a weirdo that needs to know every film that's playing, firstshowing.net has got the complete slate, and they've got kind of a synopsis of each one as well. So kudos to them for putting it together, and double kudos for us to kind of trimming the fat from that list. The first highlight that I chose, they're going to show Evil Dead, which is going to be the premiere. I think that's pretty rad. It's a movie that I'm excited about seeing, and I think that's a perfect venue.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not that much advanced, because it opens soon.
Yeah, in a couple months, I think.
April, but I mean, that's a good way. That's a good premiere for it. Like,
it'll build buzz.
That's your audience there.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what South by Southwest is so strong, is if you kill there, that's internet buzz right there. Mm-hmm. Like, people talk about South by Southwest, whereas when films talk buzz out of Sundance, that's... A lot of times critics or business
trade
people.
Stuff.
Yeah. Whereas buzz from South by Southwest may not look as good in a trailer, but among
people that are going to go see it.
Moviegoers. Yeah.
It's going to be on the Twitter. It'll be on all the social mediums. The next one, you may not have heard of it. It's called The Incredible Burt Wonderstone. It's kind of a bit like how we describe stand-up guys, a bunch of old dudes that kind of get back together, but kind of with a Vegas magician twist. The cast is incredible. Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, Olivia Wilde, James Gandolfini, and Jim Carrey.
And Alan Arkin.
Oh, yeah. There's just a shit.
I mean, it looks... The trailer, actually, I didn't see any fanfare when the trailer was released, and I stumbled across it a couple weeks ago while Ryan was watching other trailers, and I was laughing out loud. Like, he asked me, are you laughing at a trailer we're going to talk about? The trailer has legitimate laughs in it, and... Say what you will about what Steve Carell's been doing or what Jim Carrey's been doing. It looks like it could be funny. It looks like there's enough room that it might have enough heart.
Steve Carell was in my favorite movie from last
year. Yeah, I mean, I love Steve Carell. And this doesn't look like typical Steve Carell. Like, it looks like he's branching out a little bit. Steve Buscemi looks great. I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be entertaining, at least.
Maybe not interesting, maybe not entertaining. Outside of a weird-looking James Franco, is Spring Breakers. We talked about that movie last week in our trailer section. Was it last week or the week
it's
before?
It's been a few weeks.
Time runs together, but it feels like we did it relatively recently. It's Vanessa Hudgens and that other Disney chick.
Robin Banks. I might be the only one that isn't into this. I'm not a Harmony Korine fan. I think this just looks like garbage. I think it'll find its audience. I think it'll wow. I think there'll be a lot of buzz about it. It's not going to interest me. And I like tits.
Yeah, and underaged ones. Well, I mean, they're of age now. But yeah, so that should tell you something right there. If it doesn't interest Dave and it's young, nubile women in bikinis, you could probably skip it. Drinking Buddies, however, can't skip it. This was one that he's kind of shaking his head now, but it had to go on there.
I've been excited for this one for a while.
Okay, I was going to say. I mean, it doesn't necessarily do a lot for me plot-wise. It's, you know, a bunch of friends start drinking together, and then now maybe they stop being buddies and become fuck buddies, or the lines get kind of blurred. But I don't care. I would love to be buddies with Olivia Wilde, Jake Johnson, Ron Livingston, but especially Anna Kendrick. I'd have a
yeah. I mean, Anna Kendrick is enough. But yes. Then Jake Johnson, who I want in more movies. Like, he was awesome in Safety Not Guaranteed. He was awesome in a bit part in 21 Jump Street. He's amazing on New Girl. I want him in movies, and this is kind of seems like a perfect kind of movie for him because he's not carrying it, but you know he's going to be a big part of it. And then Ron Livingston just keeps showing up every few years and, like, pretty good. Like, that dude's had a pretty sweet career.
Yeah, he's been in some really funny stuff. Yeah. So good to have him back, and always good to have another excuse to talk about Anna Kendrick. I give it a year until we stop talking about her, and maybe until we stop talking about this British comedy that Dave liked. It's the one starring The Mentalist. It's another one we talked a couple of weeks.
And Rose Byrne. It's been a while. So, yeah. But I bring it up. It's the watch the trailer. I give it a year. If you're into British comedy, it looks fucking fantastic. It's got a lot of laugh out loud moments
in
the trailer.
It's not necessarily dry British comedy either. There are some LOLs.
That's doggy style. Like, there's some really good jokes in the trailer. And it just feels like one of those movies that, those aren't all the good parts. So I'm really excited for that. I'm interested to see how that plays to that kind of crowd.
Sure. Yeah, I think they'll love it. I think there's going to be enough comedy folks there that it's going to do really, really well. The next one, I kind of feel like just reading what it's about, I'm interested. It's called Milo. A dude finds out that his stomach problems are caused by a baby demon living in his colon. If that's not enough for you, it'll be starring Ken Marino, Gillian Jacobs, and Stephen Root.
Gillian Jacobs.
Your co-star, right?
I love you close. I think they changed the title, though. I like Ken Marino. I want him to headline movies. So, okay. Sounds Ken Marino-ish. So, I'm interested in it.
And I'm cool with her being in more stuff. That's fine.
Yeah. I think she's funny. I think her and Alison Brie aren't going to have any problems once Community eventually gets canceled this year. Like, I think they're going to be just fine.
Maybe once Community does get canceled, it'll be Much Ado About Nothing, which is a segue to the next movie I'd like to talk about. It is Joss Whedon's non-Avenger project. As far as I know, there are no comic book characters in this movie. It's something that he's been wanting to do for a while and has kept us from getting Dr. Horrible 2, amongst other things. So
he did it in like a 2-week break from Avengers. Like, he went without any trades picking it up and just made a Shakespeare adaptation starring anybody that's ever worked with him before
that was off in those 2 weeks. It could meet at his garage.
I mean, it's got a ton of people that he's I'm interested to see it just because it's Joss Whedon and just because the cast. And it's I'm not a big Much Ado About Nothing fan, but is that Shakespeare?
Probably.
I think it's Shakespeare.
Right? Yeah, whatever.
But I
don't read books. What the fuck are you asking me for, son?
Like, I'll see it just because of the people involved.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to have to sit through something fucking boring like that, while Dave's looking up to see if Much Ado About Nothing with Shakespeare, because really, our journalistic integrity is on the line here.
Yeah.
If I was going to have to sit through some shit, some Shakespeare shit, I would prefer that it's Joss Whedon that exposes me to it.
Agreed.
Did you find the answer yet?
Or? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is Shakespeare. Okay, so we can rest easy now. Couple docs that I think look pretty interesting. Downloaded is the Napster doc by Alex Winter that I think we talked about probably a month or so ago.
I think we cut it eventually.
Or did we?
It looked awesome. About it. It looks good. Yeah. It just directed by Alex Winter about Napster. It looks fucking great.
Yeah, exactly. So check that out. Another one, this may be just for me, but I put it on because fuck it, this is half my podcast. I Am Divine. It is a documentary about the drag queen icon and John Waters' fave, Divine. He/she, that's a fucked up story right there. And I'm interested in learning a little bit more about the departed Divine to get a little bit more about.
You know what my favorite drag queen name is?
No.
Temple Grindin.
Thanks.
I like that one.
Okay. Moving right along. Probably quite a few drag queens in the Richard Linkletter Before Midnight. That was kind of the darling from Sundance. It's going to be at South by Southwest too. Apparently people like that movie. Dave and I just kind of shrug every time.
I don't care. I don't, whatever.
I don't care either. That's going to be there if you're at South by. Enjoy. You can also enjoy Joseph Gordon-Levitt's directorial debut, Don John's Addiction, about a guy that's addicted to online porn.
And that I do want to see.
Yes. We all like kind of his... what
online
he
porn?
Yeah, we all like online porn. We also like that Joseph Gordon-Levitt likes online porn because it makes him feel like the common man. And he does pick interesting projects. This one is his project. So I would,
yeah.
I got reason to believe that it will be interesting. Jeff Nichols' new movie, Mud, which we have been trying to talk about for a couple weeks, now finally been able to, starring who is now an actual real actor, Matthew McConaughey. It will be making an appearance at South by Southwest. We cut it from our show.
I'm excited for that one. I mean, I loved Take Shelter a lot. I think if you know what you're getting into with a Jeff Nichols movie, I think you leave very, very satisfied. Mud looks like a lot of the same. It looks like you need to know what you're getting into before you go into it, but I think it looks great.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a little bit like...
There's a trailer for it.
Yeah, there's a trailer for it. Will we be talking about the trailer today? No, we won't. We cut it from last week. Sounds a little bit like a Sling Blade or like a...
It's got that kind of feel to it, yeah.
But it'll be a Jeff Nichols version of Sling Blade, so just keep that in mind. Again, check firstshowing.net for the complete slate of movies that'll be playing at South by Southwest, which will be kicking off here in a couple of weeks. Also, in a couple of weeks, will be the Academy Awards. And we teased it last week that we're going to give you our Oscar pick'ems this week. That way, it gives you guys time to listen to them. Go to Vegas or Atlantic City or Midlothian, wherever you go to put down illicit street bets and bet all of your monies on what Dave and I think are going to win the Oscars. This year, Dave has developed kind of a complex system full of intricacies and ins and outs and what have yous that I'm going to let him explain because I don't really have a working knowledge of it myself.
All right, we want you to play along. There's a list of the categories we're doing today. We're doing the two writing, makeup, music, score, and song, foreign language, animated, directing, and then all the acting ones and best picture. We're going to do it two different ways. One way we're doing it, you have 10 points for each category. You dedicate that how you see fit. You'll understand more as we get into ours because I think we both have a grasp on how to do it. And we're also each going to just pick one outright to do a straight up pick 'em. So you could do the 10 point thing or you could send us just your straight up pick 'em, however you want to do.
Or you can pretty much do like I did and just do a straight up pick 'em, give them all 10 points and piss Dave off in the meantime. I'll let you start and you can kind of lead us through since I've kind of haphazardly written down the categories and I want to make sure that we're at least going in a way that makes sense.
First category we're going to do, writing original screenplay. The nominees, I'm not going to say the names, Amour, Django Unchained, Flight, Moonrise Kingdom, and Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, fuck those writers.
You want me to just start off?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know where this could go one of five ways and I have no idea. My gut says Zero Dark Thirty. So that's my straight up pick 'em, Zero Dark Thirty. But I only gave it 4 points because I think they might throw Amour a bone here or Django Unchained. So I gave each of those 3.
You know, I agree with you on my gut says Zero Dark Thirty, but fuck it. I threw all 10. I said the hell with it. This is how I approach things. If I'm going down, I'm going down with my home run swing. So if I'm right on these, I'm going to get a shit ton of points. If I'm wrong, I'm going to get none. But I'm taking a hefty swinging for the fences with Zero Dark Thirty.
Did you do 10 on all of them?
No.
Oh, okay, because that would take the fun out of it.
I know. I took the fun out of most of this, but
so we both think Zero Dark Thirty. That's our pick 'em. I get some points if
anything wins.
Amour, Django win. Next is adapted screenplay. Nominees are Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Life of Pi, Lincoln, or Silver Linings Playbook. Where'd you go there?
I, again, spent all of my money at the Bank of Argo. It's won a shit ton of things. Maybe not necessarily this category yet, but I expect it's going to win some things at the Oscars, and I think this could be one of the awards that it picks up that evening, so I gave all 10 points.
That's interesting. I went 5 for Lincoln, 5 for Silver Linings Playbook. I put my main pick'em as Silver Linings Playbook. Argo's sneaky there, though, because I really do like Argo there. That'll be interesting. Makeup. I don't know why we're doing this one, but we did. We got Les Mis, The Hobbit, and Hitchcock.
I've seen two of those. You said that Hitchcock... The makeup was really good in it, and maybe it was. I saw Les Mis, kind of surprised that got nominated because I thought the makeup was sort of shitty. But there's a lot of facial hair in The Hobbit. A lot. So that's kind of where I'm leaning, and I'm leaning pretty heavily. All 10 points for Bilbo and crew.
I put 10 points into Hitchcock. Music, original score. Got Anna Karenina, Argo, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Skyfall.
I put all 10 points behind Life of Pi because I liked that score and it won the Golden Globe.
I did the same thing. I put all 10 points into Life of Pi. That's also my pick'em.
At this point, I'm not even telling you my pick'ems because I'm pretty sure you can guess them at this point.
Original song, you got Before My Time from Chasing Ice, whatever the fuck that is. Everybody Needs a Best Friend from Ted. Pi's Lullaby from Life of Pi. Skyfall from Skyfall, and Suddenly from Les Mis.
I could absolutely see Suddenly winning, because I don't know that Les Mis is going to win as many things as I might have thought going in. I said that I thought Life of Pi was going to win for original score, so maybe you're thinking that I'm going to go Life of Pi. Nope, I'm fucking not. I'm going Skyfall. Give me the goddamn recording artist, and I'll
Skyfall is my...
And it won the Golden Globe.
Yeah, I'm giving Skyfall 7. I'm throwing 3 in for Les Mis just in case, so I don't go.
Wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. So, but Skyfall's my main. Like, if I'm putting money on one, it's gonna be Skyfall. Foreign language film.
Do we really want to do? Yeah, it's gonna be Amore. That's the only one that was nominated for Best Picture. So if it's the Best Picture of the year, how can it not be the best foreign film?
So that's our pick'em. We both went 10. Yes. Just for shits and giggles. Other nominees: Kon-Tiki, No, A Royal Affair, and War Witch. Otherwise known as The Bitch of War.
Yes! Which is that one that I can never remember.
This one will be fun. Animated feature film.
You think it will.
You got the nominees Brave, Frankenweenie, Paranorman, The Pirates Band of Misfits, and Wreck-It Ralph.
Honestly, I think there's a very good possibility that Wreck-It Ralph could win this. It'd be great because it'd help my fantasy film ball team, but I don't think it's going to. I think Brave is going to end up winning, and I'm leaning that way, so I leaned all 10 points with Brave.
I went 7 points into Brave, and I went 3 into Wreck-It Ralph. The Annies were this past weekend, like the Animation Awards, and Wreck-It Ralph kind of cleaned up. I realize you're talking completely different sets of voters, but I wanted to leave some sort of...
A safety net.
Yeah.
I'm like the Flying Lindas, man. Fuck that noise.
So I went Brave for 7, but... have you split any of them yet?
No.
So there's no point in us doing it this way.
No, keep going. Come on, man. I could be fucking wrong and getting zeros.
Directing, you got Michael Haneke, Amore, Ben Zeitlin for Beasts of the Southern Wild, Ang Lee for Life of Pi, Steven Spielberg for Lincoln, and David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook.
Life of Pi is going to win for Best Cinematography, and it should, because it's goddamn beautiful. Steven Spielberg is going to win for Lincoln because the two people that really could have challenged him this year didn't get nominated. So all 10 went to Spielberg, although it wouldn't shock me, I guess, if David O. Russell won, but I don't feel anywhere near that he's close enough to even give him a point, so fuck it.
I put 5 into Lincoln for Spielberg and 5 into David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook, just because I have a feeling Silver Lining, I think that's going to be Silver Linings' night. And this might be the thing that kind of tips the scale.
But
so,
you don't feel comfortable enough.
I'm not 100% confident enough.
No, you're 50% confident.
Yeah. So I went 5-5 with him and Spielberg. My straight up pick 'em would be Silver Linings Playbook. Like I'm going David O. Russell as my main pick 'em. Best Supporting Actor, actor in a supporting role. We got Alan Arkin for Argo, Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, Philly Seymour Hoffman for The Master, Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln, and Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained.
Still haven't seen The Master. I really want De Niro to win this. I don't think he's going to. I think it's going to either be between Tommy Lee Jones or Christoph Waltz. I'm still not sure how Waltz won the Golden Globe. He's a good actor. He was good in that movie. But honestly, I really couldn't pick between him and Tommy Lee Jones. So this is the first category I split, and I pulled the Dave and just went 5 to each. Tommy Lee Jones or Christoph Waltz. I guess at this point, for my overall pick'em, give me Mr. Lee Jones.
And this is one of those that this category could go 85 ways. I think Arkin's the longest shot in there, but I wouldn't be shocked if he won. You know, like this is one that any of these 5 could win, and I'm not really going to complain.
Did you give him all 2 points?
No, I think the least deserving one is probably Christoph Waltz. But something about it just makes me feel like he's going to win. So I gave him 5 points. My heart, my favorite performance on this list, Robert De Niro. So I gave him the other 5 points, and I'm making him my pick 'em.
I honestly hope you're right, because I agree with you. I thought he
was great.
I loved
what he did in Silver Linings Playbook. And I think it's kind of going as unnoticed as a good De Niro performance can go. Like, yeah, it's got the Oscar nom. Yeah, it got the Golden Globe. Or it didn't get the Golden Globe nom.
No, Waltz did.
But
it didn't get nominated either.
No, that's what I mean. And like, but people aren't really talking about how amazing De Niro was in this. And he was really fucking good for what he had to deliver. He was great.
It was great. And I thought it was probably his second best performance of the year. I'm a little surprised he didn't get nominated for Red Lights.
Oh, Jesus.
He was awesome in that flick. That's why I'm really pulling for him to win for Silver Linings.
Now, actress in a supporting role. Yeah, Amy Adams for The Master, Sally Field for Lincoln, Anne Hathaway for Les Mis, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, and Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook.
Helen Hunt at like 75 showed her vagina. So I feel like that ought to get you something. Not going to get you an Oscar. It's going to be Anne Hathaway. Gave her all 10 points. But thanks, Helen Hunt, for letting me see your vagina.
I also gave Anne Hathaway all 10 points. Going back to the Oscar episode where we talked about it, we talked about maybe Denzel Washington is just kind of thrown in there and who else should be in there. How did John Hawkes not get nominated but Helen Hunt did?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen The Sessions yet.
Yes.
Holy fuck. How is John Hawkes not nominated?
That's
not just how is John Hawkes not nominated over Denzel Washington. How is he just not nominated? How the fuck is she?
She was good in that
movie.
She
was really good. But compare the two.
I understand.
Compare what they were asked to do and who fucking delivered more. Fucking Hawkes. Like,
yes.
What the fuck?
John Hawkes was great. And that is a good one to be pissed and say,
I was immediately pissed after I listened back to the Oscars episode.
And we didn't mention it?
How did we not mention that? Because that's insane to me.
I may not have seen The Sessions at that point. I watched it. I think I saw it on our hiatus. So maybe I had seen it at that point. I guess it just slipped my mind. Because at least Helen Hunt got nominated. But yeah, I thought when we first talked about that movie, like 8 months ago,
I said Hawks
yes,
should be,
will be not
looks
nominated.
Like he's going to be nominated.
That. And he didn't.
That's insane to me. That movie's on DVD.
It's because he didn't show his vagina.
The movie's on DVD and on demand if you want to see it.
Yeah, watch it. Maybe that's one of our watch it this week's. And by one of, I mean Dave doesn't have one.
No,
so
I had an
his.
Idea for one that we talked about earlier, but I forget what it was.
If you did pick The Sessions, it would be better than mine.
The next one is...
Actor
in a leading role. Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings Playbook. Danny Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Hugh Jackman for Les Mis. Joaquin Phoenix for The Master. And Denzel Washington for Flight.
How pissed would you be if Denzel Washington won?
Pretty pissed.
Yeah. I'd be shocked.
I'd put all 10 for Lincoln.
Yeah, I did too.
I don't know how you... I think Danny Day-Lewis would be the most shocked. Like, I think everybody...
Wolverine's got a chance, I think.
I think everybody in this category knows Daniel Day-Lewis is going to win.
Oh, I think so.
This is one of those honor to be nominated type things.
Yeah, I think it's a waste of time to be nominated.
Actress in a leading role. This is where it gets fun. Jessica Chastain, Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence, Silver Linings Playbook. Emmanuel Riva, Amour. Kwanzaa Wallace for Beasts of the Southern Wild. And Naomi Watts for The Impossible.
This is another one that I split. I think that it's going to be Jennifer Lawrence. So I gave her 6. I gave the other 4 to Jessica Chastain. So, I mean, obviously, like, my pick'em would be J-Law. I think it's probably hers to lose, but I wouldn't be shocked if she did lose.
My pick'em is J-Law. I'm starting with J-Law. I think it's her award. I think it goes to her. But I only gave her 5. Because I think there's a really good chance Jessica Chastain could sneak in there.
Right.
So I gave her 3. The other 2, I campaigned so hard and said it would be a fucking disgrace if Kwanzaa Wallace wasn't at least nominated. And they nominated her, so yeah. I'd be pissed if she won and I had nothing to show for it. So I gave her the final 2. Because if she wins, I'm not going to complain.
I have to say this, and I railed that she should get nominated too. And I do think that her performance was great. But I was not accosted. That's a strong word. But I was reminded that her performance, by and large, her dialogue was all, you know, recorded much, much later. So the performance was, it was kind of 2 performances. You know, it was a voiceover
with
track.
The physical and the vocal.
Yeah. And physically, yeah. You know, she pulled off all the physical stuff. And who knows, you know, how many takes it took her to get the voiceover right. But, you know, every actor, You know, nobody does things in one take. So is it a little bit less impressive? Maybe slightly. But I think that her performance was great. I just don't think they're going to give it to a 9-year-old.
Yeah, and I mean, I said that we went over this when nominations came out. Like, she absolutely deserves to be nominated. I don't think she deserves the win over Lawrence or Chastain. I think both of those are award-winning performances. Like, I think either one, I think Jennifer Lawrence is going to get it just because I think that's how the cards are going to fall that night. But you can't look away. Chastain's been there 2 weeks. I mean, last year she was supporting, but 2 years in a row to be there. Then it's a big banger. Best picture. You got Amour, Argo, which made... Let's going to count this because we were off. Amour, Argo made $100 million. Beast of the Southern Wild.
That did not.
Django Unchained made $1 million. Les Mis made $1
million. $100 million.
Life of Pi made $100 million. Lincoln made $100 million. Silver Linings Playbook and Zero Dark Thirty. They both could if they do that 7 of the, what, 9? Okay, so I wasn't that far off. I think I was counting almost.
Sure, I think you were, and Amour being the one that really didn't have the chance to make it. And,
Beast of the Southern Wild, really.
Yeah, I mean, but I think that was kind of what you were saying at the beginning, and I'm sure you just kind of forgot that Beast was nominated, because it was kind of a surprise that it did get nominated.
Yeah.
I'm glad it did. I thought it was great. It's not going to fucking win.
No, did you split this at all, or did you go all in?
I actually did. I split it up two ways. I think, I don't know, maybe it's just because I'm so beholden to, if you're going to win Best Actor, if you're going to win Best Director, which I think DDL and Spielberg are going to do for Lincoln, I think it'll probably win Best Picture. But I also would not be surprised if Argo won for Best Picture. It did win a lot of shit. Won Golden Globe, didn't it?
It won the Golden Globe for director and actor.
Yeah.
Affleck got the Directors Guild Award. So, I mean, it's getting a lot of notice, but yet you look at what was everybody else seeing that the Academy didn't? For the Academy to not, you know, Affleck wasn't in there for Best Actor, which I understand that.
Yeah.
But for not to be in there for Best Director is beyond flabbergasting to me. Like, I don't understand how we could go on again about the director category. So I can't see the Academy having the balls to do Argo.
To give it to the, you know, honestly, for the second place one, I mean, I do think Lincoln's the front runner at this point, although there are places that don't think that. I mean, maybe Argo's the second. Maybe, you know, I think you built a very compelling case a couple weeks ago for Silver Linings, because it did get nominated for actor, actress. It did get nominated for director.
I mean, they threw a Best Supporting Actress in there, which I don't think was deserved. And I love Jackie Weaver, and I love Silver Linings Playbook. Is that your points? You did 5 for Argo, 5 for Lincoln, or how'd you do
that? No, I did 6 for Lincoln and 4 for Argo.
Because here's where I'm sitting. I didn't split it at all. I went 100%. I gave all 10 points. Silver Linings Playbook. I just have a gut feeling that this is that movie that pops out of kind of nowhere, that when it comes out, you think, oh, it's going to have some buzz, and then it just takes over. So, I mean, by the end of the night, on my pick'ems, I have it for writing, supporting actor, directing, actress,
and picture.
Best picture. I think it's going to be a Silver Linings Playbook night. I think the Oscars kind of need it in a way, because, you know, take out Argo with your power of Ben Affleck. Zero Dark Thirty, the subject matter kind of darkens it a little bit. You look at this list of movies, Silver Linings Playbook is the most accessible. It's the most, you know, it's not a silent film. It's not, you know, it's not The Artist. It's not a hoity-toity British film. It's not The King's Speech. It's something that, you know, it's got your star power. It's got Katniss. It's got Bradley Cooper. It's got Robert De Niro. It's something that can be a great American film, and that they can kind of get it and have this. I don't think it's making any sense what I'm trying to say, but I think it's the most accessible, and I think it's the one that has the best chance of people going to see it and not just liking it because they think they should, but genuinely liking it.
That's tough to really, you know, prove or to disprove one way or the other, so I'm not going to try. I mean, in terms of being the most accessible, I mean, I'll agree with you that Amour being a foreign flick, that makes it tough. Beast of the Southern Wild is not that accessible. Django's, you know, the subject matter there kind of pigeonholes you into who's going to be the audience for that one. Life of Pi, I mean, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's not accessible. I mean, it's not anywhere near Beast. I mean, I think that people could see that and could enjoy it. But, I mean, I would say Les Mis is probably a pretty accessible movie. I mean, it's a musical. The subject matter is, you know, I mean, it's a love story. It's a story of redemption, blah, blah, blah. It's got the star power. Wolverine, Russell Crowe, Anne Hathaway, the girl with the big eyeballs. I would make the argument that, you know, I think Les Mis could be just as accessible as Silver Linings, but it didn't. I mean, it picked up quite a few nominations, too. It's got actor, supporting actress, best picture. I don't think it got best director. Is this the great American film that's going to the Oscars need to rescue? No. I mean, I think
that came out wrong. Not that they need it to rescue it, but
you think just America needs a win and a good American like Steven Spielberg is not good enough to do it?
I think the casual moviegoer needs a win. And if you look at the awards this year, that's kind of how they're garnered towards. Like last year, I think they went mainstream. Like you look at the Best Picture noms, and they were all like major releases. And I think that was a swing and a miss. And I think this year they focused a little bit more and they got it right a lot more.
Yeah.
And still have the star power there. And they're demanding more of the stars. You know, they're demanding you to go do something. I mean, they kind of throw that away by throwing Denzel a nod there, but I just feel like it's Silver Linings year. I really feel like this is the kind of, for the way 2012 was for movies and the way nominations went this year, I really, really think Silver Linings Playbook is going to walk away the big winner that night.
Like I said, I really wouldn't be surprised, and I don't necessarily buy what you're chucking tonight, but the argument that, you know, it did get nominated for director, where Argo and Zero Dark Thirty didn't, clearly the Academy really likes this movie. It nominated it for essentially everything that Lincoln was nominated for. So I do think that it could be kind of that two-horse race, but for whatever reason, I didn't give it the points because I don't know. I guess I feel like, you know, Argo may not win for anything else. It's not going to win for director, obviously. It's not going to win. I don't feel like it's going to win any acting awards.
I think your screenplay pick is safe with Argo.
Screenplay, maybe.
I think they're going to want to throw it something, but...
But do you think that Argo is going to walk away maybe with just... I would be surprised
shocked if they walk away with nothing. It's happened before to big movies that you think are big players, and they just... It's just not their year.
I guess. This is the one where I just feel like, and you don't want to say that they gave it, excuse me, I'm sorry, here's your consolation prize, best picture. But I feel like it's too good to go away empty-handed. So it wouldn't surprise me if somehow.
But I also think Zero Dark Thirty is too good to go away empty-handed.
Chastain could win.
And I think they're both going to. I really do. I think Lincoln and Silver Linings are going to win most of what they're nominated for, and I think Silver Linings is going to win the most.
Well, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think, you know, whoever wins kind of those second-tier, they're not second-tier awards, but more, I think whoever's ahead on points when it gets to Best Picture is probably going to end up the one that wins it. I don't think, you know, we're going to see where Silver Linings only wins maybe director and picture.
Or
you know
J-Law
I mean?
Is the only one that wins.
Yeah.
I can't see Jennifer Lawrence being the only win that Silver Linings Playbook gets.
But then again, I can't see the same thing for Lincoln. You know what I mean? You can see Daniel Day-Lewis being
Daniel
the only
Day-Lewis
one.
I can see Daniel Day-Lewis being it. I truly can. And some of the like costume and some of the other, the more technical ones.
Yeah.
But like the big ones, I really think it's Silver Linings.
It'll be interesting.
The further I get away from when I saw Silver Linings Playbook, I almost like it more the more I think back on it, and it makes me want to go watch it again. And what I
maybe you should.
What I regret not mentioning is when they're fucking walking down the street and they're in front of the movie theater. Did you happen to catch what's playing at the movie theater? Midnight Meat Train.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that fucking floored me. Like there's so much about that movie that's funny, and I think it's. I can't look at DeSean Jackson and not giggle anymore. Like, I just smile when I see DeSean Jackson now just because of he wasn't in the movie, but his role in the movie. Like
the Twitter thing, I can't look at DeSean Jackson and not laugh about that. It has nothing to do with Bradley
Cooper.
His baby
mama and her feet. Yeah. No, that was LeSean McCoy.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right, it was. I knew it was one of them sports eagle ruffians.
Anyway, I think silver linings. I think it's a silver linings kind of night. I think it's a silver linings kind of year. I think that's where the Academy's going.
I mean, I think that'll essentially be what probably determines our pick'em and probably determines, well, definitely determines our film ball. If Lincoln cleans up, I will be fine. If essentially anything other than Lincoln wins, then I'm kind of up shit creek. Let us know what you think. If you're leaning Silver Linings, if you're leaning Lincoln, or if you think that, goddamn, Amour was so great, it's going to win Best Foreign and Best Overall. Let us know, moviesonup@gmail.com. That's probably the best way to get us your picks because it'd be tough to do.
I don't
Twitter.
Want to see 10 tweets in a row.
I don't care.
Gmail us.
Somebody tweet us 10 in a row. That'd be fine. You can also tweet us, maybe not 10 times in a row, but tweet us if you see any of the movies that are coming out this week in theaters. You can tweet us all about how much you loved the new Jason Bateman flick, Identity Thief, or if you liked seeing C-Tates in Side Effects, let us know. The limited flick, that's the one that I want to see. Well, I guess there's two, and I'd actually see both of them, but I really want to see Inside the Mind of Charles Swan III. Gonna have to wait for that. That is the Charlie Sheen one that absolutely I raved about a couple weeks ago. Also being released, somewhat limited, only 300 theaters, and I'm guessing those are the big 3D screens, will be Top Gun, gets a re-release in 3D, priming the pump for the eventual Top Gun sequel, TBD, I guess, on that one. Dave, do you want to do over and under on any of these things this a week?
Let's go 14 for Identity Thief.
I'm going to go over.
I think so. It's the first, like, funny that we've, I mean, Warm Bodies was a romantic comedy. This is like just
movie
your first,
43
like,
was supposed to be funny.
Yeah, but this is like your first. I mean, Melissa McCarthy, Jason Bateman.
I think that's why
it'll
make the money.
It's safe.
Like, I don't think it's going to be funny at all. I think it
I
looks
like both
awful.
Of them, but I think yes. It looks terrible.
Yeah, I don't. I would not see this with your eyeballs, but I think enough people will.
I
see
enjoy
it
both of them a lot, but I think it looks pretty terrible. I think it'll go over 14. Side Effects. Steven Soderbergh movies are so hard to. So hard to prevent. I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't know what it'll make.
C-Tates, I feel like, would bring the ladies in. I'm not sure how much. I don't. This just seems like a weird
time. The marketing's weird because you really don't know. The TV spots don't really give you anything.
No. I mean, I guess it's listed as like a suspense or thriller.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
And I don't know that Rooney Mara is recognizable enough to really
without like piercings and
to bring in a crowd yet. Like, I think her name carries some weight, but I don't think seeing her, just like Jessica Chastain, I think her name means something, but I don't think people seeing her in the Mama trailer really clicked that, oh, hey, that's Jessica Chastain. So
yeah, I just think this is a weird
but
weekend
it's sort of
for that movie. Yeah.
And I mean, we start to get into that like February, March, like it picks up, you know.
It just seems like it's leading up to Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And this just seems like a weird weekend for that movie to be out.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's this weekend.
If you're not going to go see either of those two, you're going to sit at home, either watch the Netflix, you could watch the DVD, you could check out the DVD of The Sessions if you really want to cry your face off. Check out that movie, or you can check out either of our watch. This is, I'm going to go ahead and go first. I think Dave probably already has one, but mine, you know, I spent a lot of time watching Top Gun as a child. Loved that movie. Grew to love the F-16, was kind of a character in that film, just as much as the Iceman. Another film, and I use that term loosely, that stars the F-16 from about the same time period. It's essentially Top Gun minus almost all of the homosexuality. It's Iron Eagle with Lou Gossett Jr. They made three more movies after the first one, and they all get progressively shittier. Just check out the first one. Essentially, Lou Gossett and this white kid steal some airplanes, which I can't believe that would actually happen, to rescue the kid's dad, who happens to be a fighter pilot, so he can kind of fly F-16s too. Iron Eagle. Check it out.
I'm going to go with Throwback, a movie I'm sure we've all seen. But go watch it again, because it's a good movie, starring Marky Mark and Reese Witherspoon. We're going to stick on the finger-blasting theme. Go watch Fear from 1996-ish? There's a good finger bang on a roller coaster scene or Ferris wheel.
Maybe that's going to be a list, like top five finger blast movies. Because I mean,
no, it was a roller coaster. He blasted it on a roller coaster.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I wasn't arguing with you. I was just trying to say, like, you know, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not just finger blasting. Let's open it up to Achers. Because I feel like, you know, we gave Bella quite a bit of run for her double handy. We talk a lot about digital stimulation on this podcast. So hopefully we're digitally stimulating you with our free podcast with your ears. If you'd like to be stimulated live, face to face, or finger to genitals, however, you can come see Dave and Eric.
My other podcast, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. We're doing a live show Sunday, March 10th at 7 p.m. The Funny Farm in Austintown, Ohio. That is downstairs of Mojo's on Mahoning Avenue. Very easy to find. 7 p.m. Sunday, March 10th. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a live event. There's going to be...
Finger blasting.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have some shit in store. It'll be a lot of fun. Until then, if you don't know what the show is, listen to Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That's at Eric and Dave on Twitter, ericanddave.com. Facebook.com/Eric and Dave. That's all Eric with a K.
That's where you can get finger blasted by Dave and or Eric in person at a family restaurant. We teased last week that we were going to be on a sports talk show coming up this Thursday. Well, we're not.
We got canceled already.
Yeah, yeah. It turns out somebody probably listened to our podcast and said, fuck no. Not only can we not do that, but we're going to put on a women's college basketball game instead. So if you were planning on checking out 1390 this weekend, contractually, I am not authorized to say don't do that. Just don't expect Dave and I to be on the airwaves.
I am going to try to get on there one way or the other at some point anyways.
At some point it's going to happen. It might be tough. Actually, I think it's a home YSU girls game. So maybe if you just stand behind the play-by-play guy and just yell real loud, you might be able to get on. But I'm sorry to disappoint our literally dozen fans. Won't be on the radio this week, but one of these days I'm going to get Dave into that building if I have to bribe a guard or put him inside of my pocket. We'll get him in there. But that's going to be really it for us this week. I have no idea what we're doing next week, but I'm sure.
No clue.
And we probably won't know until the day before.
Saturday.
That's about how we roll.
Yeah.
If you have any ideas, if you want us to do top five digital stimulation movies, fuck it. We'll put that together. That'd be a fun list.
Send us your Oscar picks.
Yeah.
I think we laid out the rules enough.
Yeah, I think we did. You can get those to us. Just try moviesonup@gmail.com. That would be the easiest. Send us your tagline thing, because somebody, damn it, is getting a prize package this week. You don't want to be the one that is left with the bottom of my prize barrel, because it will not be glamorous. Until next week, keep it up.